First Name Sports starts now.
We're kind of on a first name basis around here.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Okay, let's get started.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Greg Frank.
Alrighty, we are back here on a Wednesday afternoon. Sports Map Radio, First Name Sports. Results still trickling in from Wimbledon. The American Ben Shelton just got a win. He's one of the, we got a lot of rising American tennis players. It feels like the sport is getting to a pretty healthy spot right now, at least at the professional level. Certainly on the women's side, with Coco Gauff and Sophia Kenin beat Coco the other day. So Jessie Pegula, the daughter of the Bills owners, has done a good job getting her ranking up there. But on the men's side, too, I mean, Francis Tiafoe won today. I saw Taylor Fritz was in a fifth set. Don't know if he pulled it out or not. But love Wimby. Excuse me if anybody heard that burp. Yeah, Fritz did pull through in five sets. So the American game is getting better. And, not, you know, this is one of my favorite events of the summer. I've been once and toured the facility another time. My sister lives in London, so it was amazing when I got to go. It was one of those, like, I don't know if I'll ever be here again for the event, so I made sure to enjoy it when I got the opportunity. So keeping an eye on the Wimbledon scores as they trickle in. All right, so on, I believe, Monday, we found out that Netflix is going to do a 10-part Jerry Jones documentary. John Belmer, is it possible for a sports owner, I don't care who, to be that interesting?
Not 10. Yeah. I'm down for maybe an hour long.
30 for 30?
30 for 30, maybe. Yeah, sure. I mean, he's interesting enough to bode like a documentary, but yeah. Not 10 episodes. He's not Jordan. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
What are we doing?
Yeah. Home run here for the Astros. So I look up and see, I don't know who this is.
Diaz. That's actually his second home run of the game today.
Oh, wow. Okay. As they lead 3-0 on Colorado. Some matinee baseball, but a lot still to be played today on the diamond. But yeah, when I saw this about Jerry Jones, I just thought, like, there's no way. I said this before with owners. A lot of the good teams in sports, we don't know who their owners are, and that's a good thing. I don't know who the Atlanta Braves owner is. I don't know who the Tampa Bay Rays owner is. Gosh, the Packers are owned by the fans. Now, maybe football teams, it's a little more, they're a little more out there because there's 16 or 17 games now. They go to everyone. If you've got a good enough memory and the, you know, you're watching a game and you see them shown on TV, maybe just remember it better. But usually, if owners are known in sports, it's not always good. And that's the other thing with Jerry. A lot of people always talk about how he's a little too involved. And he always wants to bring in the flashy name. And the big signing, even if it's not the appropriate one. And I guess what I'm saying is, if you are this big of an owner, then I don't know if you're the owner that I want for my team. I understand that he's owned the team long enough now to go back to the heydays of the 90s with the Cowboys. Obviously, you know, they were amazing. And Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman and Charles Haley and all the guys they had. And they won a lot. They did a lot of winning. But that's 30 years ago now. Like, at a certain point, if this guy's so good, then don't you think they would have done a little more winning? I mean, I've never seen them in my adult life playing an NFC Championship game. So, you know, and this thing's going to cost Netflix $50 million? Like, are you kidding me?
You think Jerry's going to put up any of the money for it?
I mean, maybe, because he loves it. He loves this kind of stuff.
He loves himself, too.
Yeah. But, gosh, even I met a Cowboys fan down here. We're based in Houston, who always kind of just rolls his eyes when we talk about Jerry and, like, the last, kind of sexy move that they almost made that they didn't make. Remember when all the stuff about Odell Beckham Jr.? Oh, we had dinner with Jerry Jones. What are they up to? Could they bring back Odell for the playoffs? And, of course, Odell ended up not playing the season, and now he's a Raven. But there's always these flirtations, and it's just it's all very soap opery. And then you look on the football field, and they're not bad, but like they're good enough for people to get teased into thinking that they're a legit contender, and then they cowboy it. So tell me what's so great about Jerry Jones. Like, I'm a sports guy. I don't care how he made his money or the business side of, what are the Cowboys worth now? Guess what? You can be really bad at owning a sports team and still turn a profit. Just look at what happened with the Commanders and Daniel Snyder. And what? Michael Jordan, I think, made out a pretty penny with the share that he let go of the Charlotte Hornets. So, I mean, there are just so many other people. Like, a lot of interesting people in sports who I would like to see a documentary on. Like, give me any, if we don't want to go athlete, give me any GM that was in the middle, like a GM that had LeBron on his team that, like, talks about how, what he had to do, how much his life changed when, he got LeBron, and what it was like dealing with always trying to win now, or, a lot of people, obviously I'm a little biased here, but a lot of people that are Sixers fans were waiting for one on the process and Sam Hinkie and how, those are like ballsy decisions that executives have to make on. Like, I remember there's one about the A-Rod almost signing with the Red Sox and then the Yankees deciding, we're going to, you'll play third. We have a spot because Jeter's a shortstop. Great. Like, then the Rangers are going to, instead of trade him to the Red Sox, they're going to trade him to the Yankees because he was gobbling up all the Rangers' payroll. Like, I love that stuff. Like, that inside the, how did this trade happen? Or, multiple trades or an entire rebuild of a team. I actually haven't seen this. My brother told me it's really good. There's one called the Russian Five, which is a group of Russian hockey players who were the faces of the franchise for the Detroit Red Wings. As the Red Wings began to acquire them in the late 80s, early 90s, and then as they kind of slowly ascended to being good, and then in 1997 they won the Stanley Cup. Like, stuff like that's a lot more interesting to me as opposed to Jerry Jones. I understand that owners are at the top of the food chain, but that doesn't make them the most interesting stories to tell. Because the sports, one of the things that's so great is the level playing field. It is the ultimate meritocracy because you just get between the lines and you let and may the best team, may the best player win. And so how those players rise to stardom. I mean, don't we all love the different rags to riches stories that we get with certain champions every year in sports? I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. I don't know all the personal stuff about Jerry Jones, but something tells me it's not all that emotional. It's not all that tug at the heartstrings type content. 10 parts? Yeah, I mean, gosh, I'd rather see, stay in Dallas, do it on Mark Cuban. I'd be more interested in that because he's got all these different business ventures and he's on Shark Tank. And, the Mavs have won an NBA championship under his watch more recently than the Cowboys have won a Super Bowl. So I like a lot of sports documentaries because I'm not a big sports movie guy, to be honest, because I think sometimes when you Hollywood, when you make sports too Hollywoody, then you get too far away from what they really are meant to be. So I like the nonfiction storytelling of documentaries that different sports filmmakers will do, but just pick the right ones, please. And again, a 30 for 30 on Jerry, I get it. You know, like John Calipari's got one about how he runs the Kentucky program, or his whole career for that matter, excuse me, called One and Not Done. You know, Cal's enough of a polarizing figure amongst college basketball coaches that I get why you do a 30 for 30 on him. Just how Jerry's enough of a polarizing figure amongst NFL owners to where I get doing a 30 for 30 on him. But there's no way that his life's just interesting. I'm sorry. Michael Jordan, like as Belmer said, got 10 parts for The Last Dance. That's the greatest athlete maybe ever. Let's not put Jerry Jones in that sentence.
Jerry does have a unique personality.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's fine. You know, again, he's one of the owners that everybody does know, but when most people don't know everybody else, because we just don't know owners as fans. We don't connect with them. We don't. There's nothing about what they do that makes us say, oh, that's cool. I can relate with that.
Well, he has a party bus. I can relate with that.
Okay, well, Michael Rubin threw a big party. I can relate with that, too. I'm never getting invited to that.
That's true.
You know? All right. I don't know. Maybe, you know, like Derek Jeter got his, even that, with the Jeter thing. I there were some people that thought, oh, this is a little bit, like, over the top.
I thought it was good.
You know, I watched some of it. It wasn't bad. It came out at a good time of year during the All-Star break.
Thought the Brady one was pretty good, too.
I haven't seen that one. What was the Brady one called?
I'll give it
to you.
Oh, it was
like the ESPN
Plus? It was. It was like eight episodes
of it. Man in the Arena.
Yes, Man in the Arena. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. All right. What is going on with James Harden and the Sixers? We'll discuss on the other side, and then we're going to... It'll be a perfect segue into Dan Devine from from Yahoo Sports, covers the NBA. He'll be our guest in 15, 20 minutes. First thing, sports, Sports on Radio.
You're listening to First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network. Live from the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Greg Frank.
All right, before we get to the Harden stuff, here's another layer. I should have brought this up. When we're talking about the Lillard third team possibilities, or if somebody else that's not the Heat decides to roll the dice. Supposedly, Jason Tatum is trying to recruit Damian Lillard to want to join the Celtics. But, of course, the awkwardness there is if Boston swings a deal, that means it's probably including Jaylen Brown. So... this is very like NBA-y, like NBA, like soap opera type stuff that we get in the NBA. But if you're Jaylen Brown, aren't you like, come on, bro? Like we've been together. Like what? Like you kind of can connect the dots here. You know that if this guy you want on the team comes to the team, then I'm gone. Let's just talk this thing out. Like, is there something going on between the two Jays and Boston? It makes you wonder a little bit. Because, again, this is a trade that's going to involve a lot of big pieces moving. And this whole thing about breaking them up, I've never understood. Unless they just don't like each other. Because they made four conference finals and an NBA finals. So... it's a little odd to me, and that's with three different coaches, by the way, which proves how good they are. A little weird. A little weird that Jason Tatum's just this supposedly this open about on his social media accounts, I think, about, oh, you know, we should come on down, Dame. Okay. Now, maybe he knows that the organization is not going to, like, that supermax that Jaylen Brown is eligible for, they might not give him. And perhaps... there's already one foot out the door here for Jaylen Brown. I don't know. Something to monitor as well as when it comes to the non-free agents that might be moving around in the NBA. It takes a while, especially when you have these egos staring each other down. That doesn't necessarily get healed up overnight. Speaking of egos... staring each other down. Kind of seems like that's what's going on here with James Harden and the Sixers. So, if we rewind to last summer, James Harden takes a pay cut, and it opens the door for the Sixers to bring in a couple of his buddies from Houston, PJ Tucker and Danielle House. And House had like his one moment, I think it was in game five against the Celtics in the second round, where he did a few things. But most, you know, Tucker was pretty solid during the playoffs. And the season ended the same way a lot of the seasons recently have ended for the Sixers, with a second round exit. And now, I guess what Harden felt would happen in terms of, all right, I take a pay cut for 2022, 2023, and that'll open the door for me to then opt out of my contract at the end of 22, 23 and get a bigger deal from my boy Daryl Morey. And the problem is, I think that even while Harden did play very well in games 1 and 4 against the Celtics, there were enough vintage Harden playoff disappointments along the way for the Sixers where I don't think that market is there. Not just with the Sixers, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of other teams interested in James Harden. I think while he can still play and do some things and facilitate well, I think there's a lot of teams that just say, this is who he is now. The book is closed on James Harden as far as we're concerned. This is not a guy, if we're a contender, we don't want this guy as one of our two best players, and he doesn't want to be paid like he's our third best player. And if we're a rebuilding team, then we don't want this kind of locker room culture that, you know, he can bring in terms of the party lifestyle, and not everybody wants their young players around that kind of a guy. So where does that leave James Harden? Well, it seems like the Los Angeles Clippers are the only team that is even being discussed in as a trade destination, because what Harden ended up doing, which I think was a little bit of a surprise to some, was he waited and waited and waited, probably to put some feelers out in terms of, hey, if I opt out of my final year with the Sixers, what is there on the open market? What does it look like in terms of contracts that I can get? And then I think once he didn't like the market that was there for him, he decided, I'm going to opt in. And opted in because it probably was the most money he was going to make for 23-24. But then he also wanted to get traded because he felt like I think he feels a little disrespected by the Sixers. Because if there was this kind of quid pro quo situation where he took a pay cut and, you know, got that last contract to take him through the rest of his prime, maybe that's not there for the Sixers. And they don't want that with Harden. And so then it leaves the player and the team in this weird stare down where the player says, hey, I still got 3 or 4 years left. And the team says, no, I don't think so. But then the rest of the league, from what it seems like, not a lot of the league wants James Harden on one last 3 or 4 year deal. So you just kind of shrug your shoulders and say, okay, now what? Now where are we going? Are we going to see a situation in which Harden doesn't play games for the Sixers? Because here's the thing. We already saw this with Ben Simmons. Daryl Morey was so patient in the Ben Simmons wait game to where he waited all the way until the trade deadline of the 21-22 season, and in February of 22 was able to get James Harden in that trade. So when that happened, I thought, you know what? That's probably the best Daryl could have done. And he did have to give up a couple first-round picks to the Nets as well. He had to give up Seth Curry, and he had to give up Andre Drummond. But, you know, I think that he probably did the best he could here. And so because of that, I think that Morey is not the type of president of basketball ops to just say, all right, you know, James, we'll trade you for 65 cents on the dollar. And you know what? You're from L.A., we'll let you play for the Clippers, and we'll take Norman Powell, and we'll take Robert Covington, and we'll take Marcus Morris. I mean, it seems like that's what's out there right now for James Harden. Now, Is that going to work again for Daryl Morey? Can he wait it out? And then will there be a suitor that appears either later in the offseason or potentially during the season that then offers more than what it seems like is out there right now for Harden with these role players? I don't know. But that seems to be the game that Morey wants to play again because, I mean, it kind of worked for him the first time with Simmons. I never thought that, even though they had to give up more than just Simmons, I didn't think that James Harden was going to be the return in a Ben Simmons trade when everybody knew that Simmons didn't want to play for the Sixers anymore. And I think Harden now, with his blemishes aside, today, I'd still rather have James Harden than Ben Simmons. I mean, I think we forget that games 1 and 4 of that Celtics series happened for Harden. He won the Sixers 2 playoff games in the second round this past season. So, you know, I think that's maybe where Morey will look at this and say, wait a second. I just got a guy of James Harden's caliber for Ben Simmons. Now if I'm trading James Harden, I have to get somebody better than James Harden. Which means that we are maybe entering this weird, well, I don't want to trade him, but what do I do? Because I don't want to just take what's out there now, and he doesn't feel respected, and he's in his feelings. And, you know, it sounded like early on in the Simmons waiting game, the Sixers were hoping that he would just get over himself and come play for the Sixers again. Maybe that's what the Sixers hope happens with Harden. I mean, hey, he was at the party with Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey, and Tobias Harris was there too. And, you know, Tobias Harris thinks he's going to get traded for a crumble cookie. By the way, Morey went to a crumble cookie location. Did you see that picture, Belmer? No.
No.
He put it on his Twitter. He's like, he tweeted it at Tobias Harris. So,
at least he's got a sense of humor.
Yeah, he does. That tells me that he might really want to run this thing back, though, and just say, hey, Doc Rivers was the problem. I'm going to churn out the same roster, and we're going to be fine. We'll ask Dan Devine this in the next segment because he wrote about it. But I don't think that this James Harden, based on what's happened the last week or so, I don't think Harden's getting traded anytime soon. We will take a timeout and we'll come back. As I said, Dan Devine from Yahoo Sports covers the NBA is up on the other side. First Team Sports on a Wednesday. Sports Map Radio.
Back with First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Live from the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Greg Frank.
Okay, let's go out to the Progressive Guest Line now as we bring on Dan Devine from Yahoo Sports, covers the NBA, as we continue to run through what's going on with James Harden and the Sixers and the Damian Lillard situation. Lot to monitor as the NBA offseason is in full force. Dan, good to have you aboard. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for your time. So you wrote about the Harden and the Sixers stuff. I don't know. My read on it is he took the pay cut last year for Danile House and P.J. Tucker to get there, and he felt that there should be some kind of favor returned to him as a result. He hasn't seen that coming his way, so now he's kind of at odds with the Sixers. Is that kind of your read here?
Certainly, that's what a lot of the reporting surrounding the situation is. You know, James Harden looked at the environment and the cap space scenario and said, before the season, he figured either whether it was coming from the Sixers or from someplace else, there would be a lucrative multi-year opportunity for him to make back what he gave up and then some to take him through his mid 30s into his late 30s. And after the season he had, the way it ended, I mean, a very good regular season, but sort of a disastrous end to that second round against Boston. The Sixers apparently not willing to pony that up. And then you look around the environment, where else there was cap space. The only team that was connected to him was Houston. They decided to go in a different direction with Fred VanVleet, and suddenly there's no more seats in the musical chairs, yeah. And so The best opportunity for him to try to find something else was to opt in, lock yourself into that $35.6 million and say, I kind of want to call my shot. But now we're in a staring contest, which has become something of a familiar setting for a lot of these high, sort of high leverage, high strung player situations. Philly's no stranger to it. We're not very far removed from the Ben Simmons fiasco that brought James Harden to Philadelphia. And so now it's just a question of, can Daryl Morey find a deal he likes to put James Harden somewhere else? And is that deal going to land James Harden where he wants to be? Or are we going to take this into the season yet again in Philly?
Yeah, and that's where I think this thing gets interesting, because I don't think Daryl Morey, as evidenced by the Simmons situation, I don't think Morey's the type of decision maker to just say, oh, well, this isn't going well on July 6th or July 5th, so I'm going to take 75 cents on the dollar and just, you know, wash my hands of James Harden. Because he waited until the deadline of the Simmons thing. A lot of the season was played. And to his credit, while he had to give up some draft picks and he had to give up Seth Curry and Andre Drummond, he got James Harden back in a trade for Ben Simmons, who everyone knew was never playing for the Sixers again. So I almost look at that as a clear example that Morey's not going to hold out for what he can get now. It seems like the Clippers are the only team interested. And he'll play the long game here and hope for some more teams to come in with some better offers, right?
Yeah, and there's a risk reward to that, right? Well, I mean, the reward, as you laid out, is you take it into the season and maybe more suitors come available. You know, the team's circumstances change, guys get hurt, guys get unhappy, you know, yada yada yada. There might be a different array of options available for Daryl Morey and the Sixers in 6 months than there is right now. And then some of those could be more palatable options, you know, that could help the Sixers down the stretch as they get ready for the postseason. The risk here is that would be make two seasons of Joel Embiid's prime that you've kind of gone into with that kind of gamble and said, all right, big fella, yeah, you're the MVP of the league. Go and carry us for 4 months without any, while getting, you know, a zero potentially from the point guard position.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, how many times do you want to play that chip, especially considering, you know, Joel is on a supermax now, but, you know, we're getting, they're a couple of years into that. The looming issue of the postseason failures that they've had of Joel, you know, the concern being how, you know, how long is it going to take to kind of find the right mix there, and when does Joel Embiid start to get a little that is, you know, going to happen as a certainty or even a likelihood. But if you wind up again going and saying, we're going to have to just carry this into the season and we'll see what we can do, and you got to shoulder the load in the meantime, that's, I don't know, you wonder how often you can do that with Embiid and how often you can sort of, when the diminishing returns might come around on that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a dangerous game that they're playing there. And, you know, let's transition from Harden to Damian Lillard and, you know, continue to use the Sixers as kind of the transitioning team here in the conversation. There have been some talks about, hey, if they were to pony up and include Tyrese Maxey in the trade, they'd be able to get Damian Lillard. Doesn't seem like they've been wanting to do that yet. And so whether it's the Sixers or Boston or some other contender that's not the Heat, do you think that this could end with Lillard somewhere else and a, you know, convincing needing to be taking place, or will we end up with Lillard in Miami by hell or high water?
I think the most likely scenario is, you know, player lands where he wants to be. I mean, this, the recent history of NBA superstar trades suggests that, but it's not an immutable rule. You know, Donovan Mitchell, well, you know, didn't come out and say, I want to go to Cleveland,
right,
but Cleveland's where he wound up, right? And worked out to be perfectly fine for all parties involved. It's not like the Bradley Beal scenario where Dame Lillard holds a no-trade clause, mm-hmm. right? So Joe Cronin and the Blazers front office, they're representing that they're going to hold out for the best deal. And at the moment, they have not judged what Miami has put on the table to be that. That could change if Miami's able to get a third team involved to reroute Tyler Hero. You know, there's been a lot of reporting surrounding that. Our guys Vincent Goodwill and Jake Fisher, Yahoo Sports, have been all over that. We know the ability to try to find a third team, and, you know, maybe if Hero gets flipped into a couple of picks or other young assets that the Blazers like more. The Maxey question to me is interesting, because if the starting point for us is the Blazers with Scoot Henderson and Anfernee Simons and Shaedon Sharpe, they feel like they're kind of all set in the backcourt with young guys that they want to be able to get touches and opportunities. So they don't necessarily want to bring Tyler Hero into that mix. They prefer to have him redirected.
Right.
Why would the story be different with Tyrese Maxey?
That's a good point.
He's ostensibly a very similar kind of player, right? So, or and about to be, you know, while Hero is on his deal, or just starting his extension now, Tyrese Maxey is going to be due one. And so the question of, like, where do they, I mean, maybe Portland just views him as a higher quality prospect, and so they would, you know, their calculation would be different there. But if it requires Philly flipping Maxey to other teams to create those same kind of assets, or the additional assets, just like Miami would have to do, you wonder, what kind of appetite Philly would have for that, considering Maxey, you know, they control his timeline. They're going to be a restricted free agent next summer. They can control what they do with him in terms of extending his deal. He's already, you know, shown out in the playoffs for them. They you know, he continues to get better every year. They love him there. So
yeah.
if you're looking at it and saying, you replace Harden with Lillard, I think that's one thing. But if you say you're having to replace Harden and Maxey with Lillard, I know at what point does that become a little bit too rich for Philly's blood? So yeah, I mean, there's all that to say, there's no clean, easy one-to-one deal on the board right now. And as we were just talking about with Daryl Morey and the Harden situation, that could embolden Joe Cronin to say, we're going to string this out. We don't believe that Damian Lillard is going to come into a season and say, I'm sitting out or I'm tanking the deal or whatever. We think that if we don't have the deal commensurate with what we think we need to get for him, he'll, you know, we'll string it out and he'll continue to play. He is on a four years of $206 million left. So there's still plenty of time to figure this all out, as much as we would all love to get it all squared away right now.
You know, and Dan, that's the last thing I wanted to end on here. I understand and commend Damian Lillard for sticking it out for over a decade in Rip City, but I also now look at him and say, come on, dude, like, you're being a little unreasonable by saying only Miami, when you very easily could have taken things into your own hands by signing shorter-term deals, allowing yourself to be closer to free agency, and he hasn't done that. So it's hard to have, you know, what's the expression, have your cake and eat it too? And I feel like that's kind of what's going on a little bit with Lillard, where, you know, on one hand, we're praising him for his loyalty, but I don't think that means you get to exit this way when you don't have a no-trade clause. You have these years left on a trade. You kind of have to go where they want to trade you. At least that's how it should be, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's right. Like, if you're upset about the circumstances surrounding things, well, that's what the money's for. And when you were given the opportunity to extend, you extended for as long as possible, for as much as possible. And as a result, you don't have control of this process in the way that you would like
right.
to. Doesn't necessarily mean it's not going to work out the way he wants. Doesn't necessarily mean it's not going to land him where he wants to be. But it's why this takes longer to figure out than Bradley Beal just winding
right.
up in Phoenix, because they got the Supermax, but he didn't get that one last cherry on top.
Yeah, no. So we'll see what happens. But obviously, I think in both cases, because it doesn't seem like the market's there for Harden, and while there certainly would be a market for Lillard, making the pieces match doesn't happen overnight. So we'll see what happens. Dan Devine from Yahoo Sports covers the NBA. Kind enough to join us on the Progressive Guest Line. Dan, thank you for your time.
My pleasure. Take care.
Okay. All right. We will take one final timeout on this Wednesday afternoon as we're getting you over the hump. You know, I don't know how this seems to happen, where it's food again that we have to fill the segment with. But I did see Josh Allen weighing in on a popular food debate. So, hint, hint, if you can think about where Josh Allen plays, where we're going with this. First Name Sports on a Wednesday wraps up on the other side. Sports Up Radio.
To First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network. Live from the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Greg Frank.
All right, before we get to Josh Allen, Belmar, I'll ask you this question too, because I'm honestly on the fence. Some people will be like, of course I'd go. If you had an invite to the Michael Rubin White Party in the Hamptons, you're going?
Damn right I'm going. Hell yeah.
But I guess what I'm saying is, it's entirely possible that every single person there, or at least most of them, are real a-holes when they're just at a part, like, to people that they don't, like, did you not think of, like, you might not have the time you think you're having.
Well, of course not, but I'd love to be there. I mean, just to rub elbows with those people.
Just to be there, yeah.
Of course, look, most of them may be a-holes, But some of them may not be. And you can make some really good, you know, connections doing that. I'm telling you.
You really think so, though.
There are some good celebrities out there.
Sure. I just think that is such a disconnected world from where we're living to where it would – like they would – like it's almost like they look – like they're so much higher than you in terms of status.
Yeah.
To where, like, who would want, like, you really think you're going to make connections?
Yeah, if you just have a good personality and be confident, you can talk to these people, some of these people. Like,
well, it's not even for lack of confidence. It's mostly just that this is how they, like, how many stories have you heard of, whether it be athletes or other celebrities, when they're not in front of the screen or in front of the camera being a-holes?
Like, it happens all the time.
Right.
For
like,
sure.
It happens all the time. Like, that's all I'm saying.
I get that, but there are good ones too, and there's so many there. Your chances of finding a good one in the mix is probably pretty high. I'm not saying that I'd ever be invited, and if I walked in, they'd probably like get this peasant out of here or whatever.
That's what I mean, though.
It's worth a shot.
Yeah,
it's worth a shot. Maybe I'll become besties with Beyonce or something.
Yeah,
we're both from Houston. You never know.
That's true.
So you're not going?
I probably
You would.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Like I for the curiosity side of it, not like I guess I should have phrased the question differently. Of course, you'd go, but would you go with any expectations of having a good time or expectations of being mistreated because you know and being like the peasant, you know, as you worded it?
Maybe you go with a little bit of both. You're like, I might have a good time, but yeah, there's a good chance I might get mistreated a little bit.
Yeah, there goes another. The ball's flying out of Minute Maid today as the Rockies are within one on the Astros, 5-4 now in the top of the seventh inning. But anyway, as we conclude, I saw this clip from Josh Allen, who took a very clear stance on a popular food debate. And, of course, Josh Allen plays in Western New York. He's a Buffalo Bill. And I've never been to Buffalo, actually. I'd like to get there just to try the wings, even though I know some people that have been there that have said, well, their wings are not as otherworldly as other places in the country. But, you know, everybody's got their own taste buds. And here were Josh Allen's on the ever-popular debate that is ranch or blue cheese on your wings.
In Buffalo, a lot of people are on the blue cheese over ranch with wings. Are you on that?
Where do you stand on blue cheese and ranch for wings?
Blue cheese in Buffalo is different. Blue cheese is him. Blue cheese is him in Buffalo. Like, it's not even close. Like, there's...
What do you mean in Buffalo? Brother, blue cheese is garbage.
No, it's not. No, it's not. No, blue cheese is fantastic.
So you're a blue cheese over ranch guy?
1,000%.
Pretty confident there. First off, how did the whole, like, this is, might be a bad question, the whole him thing, like, do you know how that started?
I think it's just, like, slang for, like, that's the guy, the man.
Okay.
Like, the blue
cheese
is
I was
him.
Wondering if there was, like, a deeper story.
No. I don't think so.
Okay, yeah. I agree with him. By the way, I think ranch is for carrots and vegetables and salad dress, you know, salads. There's a different, more substantial taste to the combination of blue cheese and buffalo wings, particularly, again, buffalo wings. Okay, I'm very much a, with pizza and wings, I'm very much a traditionalist in the sense that I'd rather have a, you know, perfected slice of pizza with tomato sauce and mozzarella cheese than I would like a specialty slice of pizza, you know, like just the good original pizza the way it's supposed to be or with like pepperoni is how you should eat your pizza. Much how I feel like this is the reason this is the debate is because they both dressings taste well when dipped with a wing that has buffalo hot sauce on it. It kind of brings that proper like cooling to the buffalo sauce taste. If you have honey barbecue, I don't want blue cheese as a dipping sauce or ranch for that matter. But I'm not one, and I think you are, Belmer, because you're not. You said you weren't ranch or blue cheese. You don't really enjoy either one. So when you get wings, do you get like a different sauce, like a less hot sauce?
No, I like hot wing sauce as well. Like I like.
So you'll just eat them without the blue cheese.
Sure.
Like you just, okay.
Yeah, but I do like to you know venture out a little bit and go with maybe a honey barbecue or garlic parm.
I like garlic parm. That's about the furthest I'll go.
Lemon pepper. I can get down with some other flavors.
Okay, Okay. So it got me thinking about other, because this is a very, very popular food debate, and I am firmly in the camp of the blue cheese side of the fence. I like that on my wings. So some other popular food debates. Is a hot dog a sandwich? I hear that one thrown around a lot. I'm going to say no. It is not a sandwich. Because when I think of sandwich, I think of cold cuts, or I think of something that has more than just one meat. Like the hot dog, if it had like the loaded hot dogs, I might say that counts because you have some cheese in there or some coleslaw or something. Like if you're just getting a hot dog, putting it on the grill, grilling it, and then eating it, I'm not sure that counts as a sandwich.
It's meat inside of bread. So technically, I think
it's a sandwich.
Technically, it's a sandwich. Yeah, but when you talk about do you want a sandwich or a hot dog, like they're two different things.
Well, there you go.
But technically.
You're dancing around the question.
Yeah, a little bit.
So where are you? I'll
say no. It's not a
you'll
sandwich.
You'll say no. Okay. Hoagie or sub?
I don't know the difference necessarily between those two things.
I think it is solely what do you call it. Like it might be the...
sub then,
the proper
I guess.
Name. Yeah, like when you go to Jimmy John's or Subway. Or like, see, in the Northeast, especially in the Philly area, everybody said hoagie. Like, I didn't even... Matter of fact, when I moved around a little bit, I legitimately, when I started hearing sub, the first time I heard it, I was like, well, what's that? Like, I thought it was something totally different. So I'm in the hoagie camp there, but I don't know. Like, that's not one that I... Like, because that's not a debate that extends beyond just what do you call it. Whereas, like, the hot dog sandwich thing, we were just going through it a little bit. Like, you can actually, like, sift through what your formal definition of a sandwich is, and does a hot dog fit that criteria? And so you can have a little bit more of a debate there. Here's one that also is just actually, I was going to say matter of preference, but I think if you do this, it's a little weird. Do you fold the pizza slice when you eat it?
If it's big enough, yeah.
Wow.
If it's a small slice, you don't need to, obviously, no. But if it's big enough, yeah, I'll fold it in half and eat it.
Okay, let's go back to hot dogs. Mustard or ketchup?
Both.
Wow.
Both, yeah.
Wow.
Always rocking both.
Interesting.
It's a Rockets thing, you know, yellow and red.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Funny. Now, you'll overlap the two or, like, okay, because I thought maybe you put, like, mustard on one half and...
No. It's all the way across, baby.
All the way across. I didn't even know that people did this. The article that I found. Salt on watermelon?
I've seen it. I'm not a huge watermelon person, so I can't tell you if
it
tastes good.
But if I were, I would not put salt on it. Seems a little weird.
As juicy as it is and sweet as it is, I think it could work.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. This one, I guess because it's popular at burger places, people get milkshakes with them. But I'm out on dipping French fries in milkshakes.
Well, you're missing out. You are missing out.
You're big on
like
this.
When you go to Wendy's or a place like that, you got to get like a Frosty. Dip your fries in the Frosty. Milkshake, same thing.
Here's an interesting one. Do you dip your pizza in ranch dressing?
Well, I don't. But I know a lot of people that do.
I don't unless we're talking like low quality pizza. Like if it's like 3 a.m. Papa John's. There's a decent chance that there's some ranch that I'm dipping that in.
Yeah, but I think that comes from people who just dip everything in ranch, because there are those people as well.
That's true. But I'm not one of those people. I'm just saying, if I need to enhance a bad slice, ranch might be the way.
That's the way to do it, yeah.
Yeah. This is an interesting one. Ketchup on the fries or off to the side to dip in?
Off to the side. You don't want to make them soggy.
Yeah, I agree with that. How about bagel? Butter or cream cheese?
Cream cheese all day.
I agree. Cream cheese. how do you cut your sandwich when you make like peanut butter and jelly? Diagonal or in half?
Diagonal. Every time.
I started to do diagonal too. For whatever reason, diagonal makes it look to the eye like
it
there's
does.
More.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
There's more of a sandwich there. All right, that'll wrap things up for us on a Wednesday afternoon. I hope you're all hungry now, and we will be back tomorrow from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 to 3 Central. He's John Bellmer, our producer. My name is Greg Frank. We'll do it again on Thursday. This has been First Team Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network.